E2, number 21A.
I was telling this morning the spiritual history of how the idea in regard to opening up the text of the Bible has unfolded, that since Mr. Dawley's time, various things have evolved, that we began to see more order and more structure in the same text at his time. And I was telling this because I asked that great question, why didn't the students actually see what I wanted to present in my books? And having shown this morning the development, you can see that what happened is this, that because most of the students were trained in reading Bible interpretation the way John Dawley presented it, and because they were used to think in that way, and that is that which they knew, that when my book came out, they were reading that same book, that book, with the same approach. They weren't aware that they should have approached it with a different mentality than when they were reading the verbatim reports of the signs of the Bible from John Dawley. Namely, they were all reading it with a sense, let's see what Max is now saying about this and that prophet, and they were also expecting that I would write pages about a certain verse or about some important incident in the text. And I didn't do that. I gave a very, very short interpretation of biblical symbolism, translating it into metaphysical ideas, because I had to have some kind of basis from which to work. And so I had to do that, but I used a minimum of biblical symbol interpretation, because that would give me only the raw material to go on and build on that interpretation, really the matrix, and showing in the matrix the indices, and then from there go on to show the laws, to state the laws through those indices, and then giving examples of how this law could be elaborated individually, though we would have to stick by the law, and would show then in the book how these laws can become practical, how they could be used in practice. All this has never been seen, and I don't know why that thought was not open to see it, but you can see that naturally I did not satisfy the reader in the old way. He approached a new paradigm with the consciousness of an old paradigm, and that never will bring forth anything good. If a new paradigm is stated, it can only be understood if one really goes out from that new paradigm. Therefore, I would like to go quickly through a prophet, how I have presented him in my book, just to give you the general layout of how I dealt with a prophet. So that if you read that book, that then you approach it with from the new standpoint, from the new paradigm, and therefore can see what I really wanted to achieve. So let's, for instance, take the Minor Prophet book and open it up at page 28, where I began to interpret the prophet Hosea. That is, I actually did not so much interpret as what I just said, but use him as a symbol for the law that is behind the Christ as the Word as the Word. That's really Hosea. And in order to arrive at the law and the elaboration of the law of the Christ in its subtone of the Word as the Word, I had to substantiate my findings and show that they are conclusive. So if we go now quickly, we will not read anything. I just want to give you the train of thought, so that if you pick up that book again, and perhaps after this class you may see that this book can be a terrific help in solving your problems and in treatment and in giving a treatment, that you know how I proceeded. So on page 28, and perhaps you are so good and concentrate on what I'm saying, so that we don't lose too much time by waiting until you turn your pages over, and just really concentrate on that line of thinking. I would first take the historical background quickly, shortly, and just give a little indication what was happening at the time of that prophet, so that if he uses symbols of his time, like wars and nations and towns and things like that, that one would know the setting, so to say, the stage setting on which prophet was writing. Then I would give usually a number of main aspects within the whole prophet. Here, and always bring out that those main aspects in titles with capital letters. Here in Hosea, one of it would be God's faithfulness and Israel's unfaithfulness on page 28, you see, and write about this main tone that runs through the prophet. You have another one on page 30, again in capital letters. Ignorance of God is the cause of backsliding. That Hosea will talk about that. At the bottom of the page, returning to the Lord, his great cry to return to the Lord. On page 31, the law of cause and effect, and we have seen that really that law of cause and effect then is the backbone of Hosea's teaching, because he wants to show two various laws of cause and effect. If the cause is God, the effect is good. If the cause is not God, the effect is not good. So in this way, before I start with the actual text and interpreting the actual text, I would always first give some kind of keynotes for the whole text of the prophet. Then, on page 32, I would start with an analysis of the message. So the message would always be a subtitle in each of the prophets, and giving in that message the ordered structure that runs through the message, through the prophet. Here you have it. It is down on 32. You have mind, and then next page spirit, and so on, that you can see that up to 36, I would, in a few pages, give a short interpretation of Hosea, doing what John Dolley would always have done, namely to show the layout of that prophet, and then always epitomize each stage of that seven through an epitome. For instance, on page 32, mind, on the bottom of page 32, mind, You have first the epitome in metaphysical language, where I said the divine mind constantly manifests itself as the parent mind, bringing forth the perfect creation. See, that's the law of cause and effect. And then the opposite, cause and effect, whereas mortal mind's creation results in disharmony. And giving the verses from where to where this subject runs. And it's naturally a current text. And then I would, on this epitome in metaphysical language, substantiate this epitome through the biblical text, which would then run to the next page up to where I start with the second tone spirit. Can you see what I do? I take in the message the actual text of the Bible, trying to pinpoint shortly and concisely the main aspects and epitomizing it already then in our language of our system of reference. It may be the word order, it may be the Christ order, it may be the four, whatever the message in that book is. So that is always the first great work, namely to find out the layout. All right, then when I have shown the layout of the whole text, perhaps I would show then, like on page 37, I would show there is only one power at work, you see, giving an indication of the dominant tone, which we then afterwards have as the vertical of the word, namely as the monopotency of God, good. So that out of the findings of the message with its 7 points, you could then afterwards summarize the main tone. See, it's again a reduction. This is the great point of reducing a redundant text to the backbone, so to say, to find out its system. And then would have to state, like on page 38, I would always state there the standpoint, the point of intersection, the standpoint of the prophet, then the word, reflecting the word. Can you see? You get now to the point of intersection. So that from the actual biblical text, via interpretation in metaphysical language and using our system of reference, I would then come to the point of intersection. Within that point of intersection, I would then try to define the standpoint, like on page 39, always the standpoint, which is here the word as the word. You can see it. And then afterwards take that standpoint and put it into the law of the prophet. You have there on 39 the law of Hosea. And in italics, I have stated the law of the prophets. I have stated here, God forever manifests himself infinitely as ideas of God good. You see? So you have the word vertical, and then the purpose defined, at the same time disproving that any cause outside of God can achieve anything good. That's the horizontal. So I tried in words instead of symbols. I could have done it in symbols, but then nobody would have understood it anyway. So I couldn't take that risk. And then, having stated that, I would substantiate that law by going over the prophetic text again and showing how it worked in the prophet of Hosea. So that's why it is the law of Hosea, because it is the law adapted to the symbolization which Hosea did choose. But naturally, and this is the point where the reader couldn't follow me anymore, naturally I was knowing that if that law is a law, then a law in being, then Hosea could only give one example of that law, and not the law itself, the fundamentals of itself, that he would give us an example how he saw it adapted to his situation. He couldn't give it adapted to our situation. So I had to take that law of Hosea and would have to see that it is only one example of an underlying scientific law. And so every time after the law of the prophet, I would take and lift it up into the realm of science as a scientific law. Here you have it on page 39 at the bottom. And would state that scientific law, and especially the first time I had to talk around about it, but then it always, like on page 41, I took that law and showed that law in its elements. So you have always the elements of the law, stating it no more in terms and symbols of Hosea, but now in our terms, adapted to our language of Christian Science, and would give in Roman letters, bottom of 41 and top of 42, the minimum, so to say, of elements that could define that law. When I had defined that law, and we can perhaps quickly read those elements, and you know now the point of intersection. The first element is, as a minimum, that God constantly manifests himself. You see, this is now the Christ matrix element. Huh? You see, God constantly coming too. This is now the Christ there on in the upper left corner, the A of the matrix. So that every law in that matrix starts with that element, that God is coming too. That God constantly manifests himself infinitely. And now we come really to the first vertical, to the word vertical, as ideas of God good. And as it does that, we come to a second element, which we have seen, defining the divine purpose, the horizontal. And this disproves, at the same time, that any cause outside God can achieve anything good. Can you see what I was trying to do? If I would write this book today, or if I would write it in 5 or 10 years, when thought is much more awakened to a scientific treatment of the science of being, I would naturally do something else. I would always put it into three elements. Namely, I would always put as the first element the Christ, as the overall element, namely the Christ as the Christ matrix element, Christ, God coming to, and then I would put as a second element the vertical, and as the third element the horizontal, and would divide them up in this way. What I have done in this book is that I tried to tell that very same thing, but perhaps more in a literal way than in a mathematical way, more in a fluent way, in a sentence way. But actually you can see those three elements, though there are only two Roman numbers, because the first Roman number includes one and two element. Namely, again, God constantly comes, that the Christ, as the potency of good, namely as ideas of good, and then the purpose is defined, namely that any other cause, that anything that comes from any other cause cannot be an idea and cannot be good. So in this way we state a fundamental law. And as I have said before, it is actually that law which we tell every beginner in Christian Science. Only that we don't introduce the first element, we don't say that this is happening in being constantly. We tell him only element two and three, namely that we say if you start from right thinking, then the effect is right, and if you start from wrong thinking, then the effect is wrong. But here she naturally, prophets lift it right above into the realm of science and into the very fact that this is a power that is immanent in being, it's the Christ power. Now, can you really quite distinctly see those elements of the law? That it always shows there is a synonymous term coming from God. It's not we doing something. It's the divine being that has within itself a Christ activity coming down to. That's the Christ. Then the word which says, what does come down? Only that which is the idea of that synonymous term. That's good. Consequently, you get the last element. Consequently, the purpose of it is to disprove that any other cause can also achieve something good, meaning that any other cause falls back into itself. As easy as that. But it's a fundamental law, and you will be quite surprised that this law never repeats itself again in the prophets. And that is what makes Hosea, Hosea, and not something else. Now, if you keep that in mind, then you can say, now I have stated the scientific law, but now I can start working with it. Just as if you had another law stated in physics or chemistry, you can take that law and then insert in those elements where you can exchange the terms, you can insert there the terms which can be inserted. For instance, we